More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. So you guys don't like the data centers? They don't employ a lot of people, that's for sure. But the people that will work there. So there's going to be a construction component, which obviously that's short-lived. I mean, construction jobs, though, they're important because they pay well. Usually prevailing wage, living wage, and higher. So there's that, and that could be, I don't know, 2.5-3 years of consistent employment. So there is some opportunity on the front end, but I think where we have the biggest problem, because people will work in data centers, we don't have enough engineers. So there's a shortage of the kind of technical, specialized skill that people need to be employed by a data center, but those salaries are $150,000 a year. Problem is, we don't have the people that have the technical education to work at the data center. And it's a shame, because if you're going to build something like that, and who knows, maybe the public outcry will be so bad. I have seen legitimate, good manufacturing ideas that will be long-term stabilizing employment, willing to take the risk to build something durable, I mean something forever, in the black community, and because of misinformation, ignorance, and fear, I've seen our community completely shoot down an idea because we are so content with the status quo of having nothing that having something now seems intimidating. I think it was the Strauss Company. They wanted to build a meatpacking facility where the old A.O. Smith location, that's been vacant for 40 years. Now, they put Century City over there. The city spent a whole bunch of your money to put up this, I don't know what the hell Century City is. It's like a big building where a bunch of businesses were supposed to move in, but that was a consolation prize. So A.O. Smith has a long, deep history of creating generations of manufacturing jobs that literally fed a good portion of our community for like 70 years. Some of you, some of your parents, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents worked at A.O. Smith right there on 20-something in Townsend. You know that big old campus, huge. Remember when the car frames were stacked up to the sky? Because they used to make automobile frames for Dodge and I think for one other car maker. And then slowly with more competition and the impact of fuel prices on big American cars, A.O. Smith was producing less and less. Now, they still do some manufacturing. You can still buy an A.O. Smith water heater, but that's about it. And so there was a meatpacking plant that wanted to purchase the space, build a meatpacking plant, and then the misinformation started right away. It's going to be a slaughterhouse, and it's going to smell bad. Yeah, but hundreds of people are going to be employed. And it was the weirdest thing ever, because now all of a sudden, the people in the community, and they were riled up with lies. Oh, there were stories written about this. This was the whole era. I can get deep if you want me to, about how the misinformation stopped a development that would have paid living wages to hundreds of people that are deep in the throes of poverty and have not had that kind of employment opportunity since A.O. Smith essentially closed its doors and turned its back on black Milwaukee. And because of people and personalities, they made a crusade to stop that development from coming in. And the person who was probably hired to stop that development was black. They also had a radio show, and they would tell people, call the aldermen, tell them to kill the deal of the meatpacking plant coming to the community. I don't know why we think in our community that we get to pick and choose who wants to invest in us. Because right now, I'm going to be honest with y'all, it's nobody. Nobody wants to take the risk and invest in a black community. When it comes to building things, when it comes to long-term employment, long-term opportunities, nobody wants to do it except for the government, and even they don't want to do it. So we don't often get to choose. And I'm perfectly okay with that because I come from a world where choice was earned. You want to have a bunch of unlimited choices? You better work your tail off. You better stack your money. You better have a hell of a lot of discipline and self-control. Then you get to make a whole bunch of choices. But until then, you sometimes got to take what's given to you. Do you know how many times as a kid I wanted a McDonald's for dinner? Do you have any idea? If I was not a fan of whatever my mother was cooking and I had a suggestion of what I wanted to eat, do you think that my mother said, oh, you don't want my meatloaf and mashed potatoes and the string beans with the little potatoes in the string beans? Oh, Sherwin, my 7-year-old son, you would rather have a cheeseburger and an orange soda? Let me run on out to McDonald's and get you your cheeseburger and your orange soda. Damn this meal I'm about to make. Do you honestly think that it was like that? Ma, I don't want meatloaf and mashed potatoes and the green beans. Oh, you don't? Then you're going to die. You'll die. I don't care if you don't ever eat ever. I don't. You don't have a choice. Now I'm older. I'm on my own. I can get all the damn cheeseburgers I want. But at the time, I didn't have a choice. Now, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't have autonomy as a community. And if a business or a company wants to come in here and they do want to invest in a neighborhood where nobody else will, they still have to be regulated. They still have to be held to high environmental standards. They still have to follow the law. They still have to be fair. But we got to consider our opportunities. That one was particularly troubling because the vast majority of the African-American community was in favor of that manufacturing, that meat processing plant. And then all the research was released. People were like, oh, well, slaughterhouses smell terrible. No, they don't. Not the modern ones. You wouldn't smell anything. In fact, you wouldn't even see anything. You wouldn't hear anything. You would just see people going to work every single day. You know, some of you do recall this because it was very controversial at the time. That must have been, I just think of my life in two different sections, before the pandemic and after the pandemic. That must have been, it was in 2020, because Lena was running for mayor. Tom Barrett was still mayor. Lena was running. Lena used her influence on Black Talk Radio, and how ironic is this, a Black Talk Radio station that's going to be involved in the trust that is also including 101.7 The Truth. Everything comes back full circle. Lena didn't want Tom Barrett to get the credit for that meat processing plant to happen on his watch, because Tom Barrett would have gotten credit. Follow me on this now. Tom Barrett would have gotten credit for an employer investing in the black community, where there would have been, I think on the low end, they said 75 jobs, on the high end, 250 jobs, all paying really good wages. Lena Taylor, who is now Judge Lena Taylor, didn't want Tom Barrett to get the credit, even though Tom had very little to do with it. I mean, he played a role. But because Lena was running for mayor against Tom, she didn't want him to get a political win. And all of this has been documented. So Lena Taylor sacrificed employment opportunities for our community so that the man she was running against and ultimately lost to couldn't have on his resume that he was mayor when that meat packaging plant was built and people were hired. Fast forward now, the community is still gutted. It's riddled with crime. Unemployment is high. Crime is high. I can't tell you how many more people are dead and have been killed, either from premature death or gun violence, because of the lack of hope and the lack of employment in that community. And Leana Taylor was given some assistance in her mission. And so there was a propagandist who was on talk radio every single day discouraging our community from supporting it by spreading lies and misinformation to people. Like, oh, it's going to be disgusting and you're going to see bloody cows and there's going to be blood running through the streets and there's going to be all the dead animal carcasses and it's going to be gross. All that was lies. But what was behind that was someone's political ambition that they put higher than jobs and employment and even home ownership and even stable communities. They put their political ambitions higher than the betterment of a portion of the black community. There were articles that were written in favor, trying to clear up some of the misinformation about that meat packing plant. They were published. But then there was a particular talk radio host who was relentless. And then the alderman at the time, a guy by the name of Khalif Rainey, he is no longer on the council, got inundated with not just calls, but threats. You better not support this slaughterhouse coming into our community. And I remember listening to some of the commentary and people just got weird with it. Like, they just came up with these imaginary facts, because once the propaganda started, it was like a self-fulfilling machine. And somebody had the nerve to say, and let's be real clear, the black community ain't vegan. There are some. Hell, I used to be one. Didn't work out. Meat is too good. I tried it. We eat meat, but can't have a place that processes the meat that we eat and go and buy in the neighborhood. And it would come with jobs, benefits, opportunities, retirement plans, et cetera, et cetera. So we love to eat the meat, but don't want the place that processes the meat to be in the community. Like, we love the data. We love taking the pictures, but don't want the data centered. Y'all got to pick and choose now. I'm going to share something with you that I don't think I've ever spoken about publicly before. So the propagandist who was on the radio, who was assisting Leana Taylor in her political ambitions to kill the meat processing plant, because Leana, while running for mayor, didn't want the meat processing plant to come to fruition while Tom Barrett was mayor, because she, Leana, didn't want Tom Barrett to get a political win. Because if you bring a job or an employer to the black community, like, that's a really big deal. That makes you look good, because it's very hard to do. And so the decision was made to kill the development. And ultimately, it did. The developers were like, yeah, we don't need all this. We're just going to go to Franklin. Franklin is welcoming us here. Like, why are you guys mad at us? We want to build a facility here. There's one lady that called in and said, well, they're going to kill the animals there. We don't need more death in our community. Like, that was creative. If I can remember who that lady's name was. But we already have a lot of death in the black community. Building a slaughterhouse, which it wasn't, it was a meat processing plant, it's just going to bring more death. Yeah, but have you ever had a good ribeye steak? That's some delicious death. No, and you got to get it. You got to get it medium rare. You need a nice sear on it. Here's the thing about a good bone-in ribeye, because that's where the flavor is. All you need is salt and pepper. Maybe you put like a little bit of garlic in the pan. You don't need a lot of garlic. Let that steak speak for itself. You don't even need much seasonings. I don't know. Some days you put a ribeye on a plate and a naked lady in the same room. I don't know. Some days I might be eating a ribeye. You know what I mean? Depends on how I'm feeling. So this, the radio host was just continuing on behalf of Lena Taylor, lies and misinformation and panicking our community that this development would be the worst thing ever, which it wouldn't have been because it would have provided jobs, which is the one thing that we are lacking. We're lacking a lot of stuff. But if there's no mainstay of employment, you got to think about when you have an employer like that. I'm just going to give you an example of how detrimental this was. And we're seeing the reverberations now. Like some of these kids that were like stealing cars in the 2020, 2021 would like be in college now because their parents would have stable employment. Families would have stayed together because, you know, if there's no money, money is a reason why couples break up. The whole trajectory of our community could have changed. And right now we'd be seeing great benefit from it. So the propagandists just wouldn't stop. And they're lying and making up all this stuff about how it's a bad idea to build this meat packaging plant. Gerald Jones, who is now deceased, I'd left WNOV in 2018. And he and I had a conversation because he wanted me to come back and replace the propagandist because Gerald Jones was in favor of the meatpacking plant. And this is the man that owned Courier Communications. In fact, Gerald Jones's mama started WNOV. So WNOV was a legacy radio station that belonged to a black family for 60 years. Really, really important media company for our community. And he, Mr. Gerald Jones, was in favor of this development. So Gerald and I talked, and I had a meeting with a mutual friend. And they said, Sherwin, we want you to come back to WNOV. Because I was in favor of the meatpacking plant as well, but I wasn't on the air, so nobody really cared what I was saying at the time. And here's what they wanted me to do. They said, you're going to start. It was a Friday. I remember I had this meeting with this individual. We met for happy hour. And it says, sure, when you got your job back at WNOV, and that's a different time slot, but you start on Monday. I was like, yeah, why not? Sure. Yeah, I'll come back. They said, but there's one catch. When you go in Monday morning, you have to, you, Sherwin Hughes, have to fire the current host. And I said, never. I would never do that. I would never do that. Hindsight being 2020, that was probably one of my biggest regrets. I'll leave it there. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Todd texted us via 833-212-1017 and says, Sherwin, great steak needs no seasoning. Even good meat doesn't. I hope Al doesn't have a comment on meat. Why you gotta bring up Al? Because then Al calls in. I gotta go put on a bonnet. It's a whole thing. But I agree with you. Let that beef flavor come through. That hot beef with all them juices. I prefer my steak medium rare. I'm not going above medium rare because you start doing things to the texture of that meat. And no, that's not blood on the plate. People say, oh, if you get a rare or a medium rare steak, that's blood. The blood is drained out of the animal. That's a protein called myelin. That's not blood. It's good for you. Put hair on your chest. Vince says, and I quote, this is what Vince texted in at 11:18. Oh, damn. That's what Vince said. I got an oh, damn moment for you. Ladies, may I have a word? I understand the threats that you all face from men. Statistically, women age, I believe it's 18 to 44, your number one cause of death, adjusting for all other causes, you know, car accidents, you know, cancer and that kind of stuff, adjusting for all of those, your number one cause of death is actually men. And so you are under a unique kind of physical threat from men, which as a man, oh, I totally get it. In fact, if I am somewhere walking, maybe it's outside at night, I don't know, on a sidewalk, I actually allow for a woman who may be walking by herself additional space because she doesn't know me. And you see my big ass coming down the sidewalk. I don't know. Things may go south for you. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I'm more likely to smile than I am to frown. But I can understand a woman walking by herself at night seeing me may have a little panic. I don't know. That's fine. I don't get mad at that stereotype because I get it. Because she may have had a bad experience with a man prior to. So, okay, that's fine. So I do know how sensitive women can be to the worst instincts and impulses of men. And then there's always the sexual threat. I am still shocked to this day in 2026, almost halfway through the year of 2026, that there are men, there are grown men that still take pictures of their genitalia and send those pictures to women. I'm in disbelief that men actually do that. That's disgusting, especially when it's unsolicited. But fellas, I would say this, even if she asks you for such a photograph, don't send it. You never know what data center that picture is going to end up in forever. Don't do that. Plus, she's going to show her friends. Like, they collect these photos that you guys send. You guys know this? When you guys send those pictures of your private parts to a woman, because so many men do it, some women will create, like, these folders of unsolicited wee-wee pictures. And then, like, the women will, like, look at mine. Look at this one. Look at, oh, let me see that. Oh, who sent you that? And then sometimes, like, wait a minute. Is this the same guy? The Me Too movement, which I think we're seeing a backlash from that with a woman's right to choose being tampered with politically. The SAVE Act that would make it more difficult for married women or women whose last names don't match their birth certificates, make it more difficult for them to vote. The trad wife trend that some women are wanting to be involved in, basically taking women out of the world and out of advancement and just putting them in the house to raise kids. All of that is to marginalize women, I believe, as a political and social backlash to the Me Too movement. I remember when those hashtags first started popping up, it must have been in 2017, and the number of women that I know, love, and trust, women I've known my entire life, were using that hashtag Me Too. I didn't quite understand the gravity and the pervasiveness of the problem of sexual harassment, because contrary to popular opinion, There's guys that we know that are over the top when it comes to women. Absolutely. Now, I personally can't hang out with guys like that. I can't be associated with guys like that, because even though I'm not participating in some of the disgusting things they may say and they may do, if I'm with them or if I'm associated with them, I might as well be doing the exact same thing. So that's, I can't deal in that kind of reputation destruction. If I'm going to destroy my reputation, it's going to be me. So ladies, I'm doing the best I can to try and understand some of what you may deal with. Obviously, I'll never get it. I've also noticed that there's been like a reduction. Some men are just not even looking at women anymore, not approaching them, not talking to them, because in the entire Me Too movement, we learned something that we don't often know how a woman feels about us, and we can't often take her response as permission. Because if you say something nice to a woman, like if she doesn't like you, if she doesn't want the compliment, or if it feels weird and creepy, because sometimes we as men don't know what a woman may consider creepy. Sometimes we do know, but a lot of times it could be just us being nice, and also depends on her previous experience with men. She may not take too kindly to you telling her that she looks nice in that outfit, because she could very well assume that you are objectifying her, and she's probably had an issue with that in the past. So a lot of men are just like, yeah, I'm not going to say anything. And it's weird, because now you have some women are wondering, well, how come men aren't approaching me anymore? It ain't worth it. It's not worth it to take the risk, because if we approach the wrong woman, and you don't know it's the wrong woman until after you've done the approach, but once you've done the approach and you find out it's the wrong woman, the damage has already been done. Now you're a creep. Now your picture's all on social media as a terrible person that women should be afraid of. It's not worth it. And it's weird, because women are like, men are not approaching us anymore. We still do, but not like we used to. But also, I guess, look at it this way. A man approaching you is a man, he's picking you. You just ain't getting picked. So don't make it seem like it's, oh, men are no longer approaching me. Okay. Some women are still getting approached. Let's put it that way. Because to approach is to pick. And we just ain't picking you, which is fine. It's all right. Don't get mad at that. Go get picked by one of your girlfriends. They'll pick you. They'll always think you're beautiful. You don't need us. There has been, and I've noticed it, especially when we've come back to being in person. So Me Too Movement, 2017. 2018, 2019, a lot of high-profile men got ensnared, got fired. Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby. It goes on and on and on. A whole bunch of high-profile men did a bunch of weird, creepy stuff. Charlie Rose used to invite his interns when he worked at PBS, wherever the hell he worked, and he'd be wearing a bathrobe with nothing underneath, and the bathrobe would be untied, and a little tallywhacker be flapping all around. A guy named Louis C.K., he never really got his comedy career back. He asked a woman if he could pleasure himself. I think it was two women. He asked these two women if he could pleasure himself in front of them backstage in his dressing room. They said yes. Then they didn't like it and said no, and he got Me Too'd because of that. That's a weird one, but all right, fine. But because men have been just ever so slightly subdued, because we don't want to take the risk of doing something that might be looked at unfavorably by a woman, we've just kind of taken a backseat. And I've noticed how much bolder women are in what they say and how they act, knowing that men can't respond like we used to. Case in point, the explicit conversations that I have heard women have in office and professional settings about sex makes my eyes pop out of my head, because they know that we can't say anything. We can't participate, because if they're having a conversation about sex, and fellas, you need to know this, women are far dirtier than us, far more explicit. Oh, you have no idea. I'm black, but if I wasn't, I'd be blushing. Oh, they're just foul-mouthed hooligans. And for some reason, men get the bad rap. You know what a man's conversation is to another man about sex? I'll give you an example. Then I'm going to take a break. And then I'm going to give you this other thing that happens with men being a little bit more subdued, because it's not worth it for us to lose our lives, our livelihoods, our careers, and our reputation because we said the wrong thing, or we were too forward, or we gave a compliment on the wrong day at the wrong time to the wrong woman. It's not worth losing everything because of that. And yes, it is that serious. Not worth it. But here's how the conversation goes. Hey, Rob, I seen you with that girl at the bar last week. What's going on with this? Yeah. You know, you already know. Okay. All right. Conversation over. It's not, I texted her at 7 p.m. and I asked her to wear something very sexy and seductive. And I made sure that I had the candles burning, and then she came to my house and I undressed her with my teeth and I put on some very seductive and sweet music. And then I ripped off her clothes. No. Nobody want to hear all that. I don't care. Hey, man, I seen you with that girl. What's going on with that? Ha ha. You already know what it is, Sherwin. Oh, for real? It's like that. Yeah, it's like that. I'm like, it's like that. It's like that. Yeah, you already know. Then we go on and talk about if Giannis is going to get traded. That's it. Women take it to a whole nother level. I'm noticing women are much more physically incline with men. And I want to ask you something, ladies. If a man you don't know that you're meeting for the first time, this is a professional setting, you don't know this man. Maybe you know of him, but you don't know him. And you're meeting him for the first time and he reaches his arms out to hug you on the initial meeting. How do you feel about that? You may not. Let's assume he's not attractive. Because if he's attractive, I know attractive men get a little more leeway. But a man in a professional setting, there's other people there, people you work with, your colleagues, his colleagues are there. You've never met this man before. You don't know this man from Adam. He's wearing a suit. You're all dressed in your business casual. And to meet you for the first time, he reaches out his arms to hug you instead of his hand to shake. How do you feel? Okay, you know that feeling that you get of trepidation? It's weird. It's awkward. You don't want to do it. But also, you also don't want to, you want to save face. You don't want to make him look bad. And you may give him an awkward side hug. You know that feeling of this kind of like disgust? Or like, it's pressure. Men feel that too. I'm going to take a break, come back. Oh, look, we have Al on line one. Okay, let me get my bonnet ready. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome back. I want to pronounce this name right. I think it's Gigi Lador. Am I saying that right? Gigi? Gigi Lador says, you answered your own question. Y'all get the bad rap because you're the number one killer to women. Y'all talk about women and can do harm to them. Women talking won't cause you any harm. Case closed. I know that's a lie. The way women have learned how to use their mouths and verbal abuse and emotional abuse and neglect destroys people. All you got to do is tell your son he acts like the daddy he's never met. You've destroyed that boy. There's an experiment done amongst girls as young as in kindergarten that start to form cliques and alienate and isolate other girls. So women don't fight physically. They fight with words, which oftentimes can leave deeper and worse emotional scars. And also, it's not all men. It's like all white people are not trying to hang us. Yes, of course, men kill women. But women kill babies. And I don't want to bring that up, but so children that die from child abuse and neglect, women are overrepresented in killing children 0 to 9. It's not fathers you hear about drowning 4 babies in a bathtub. Or you remember the lady that had her babies in the car and she drove the car into a lake, but she got out the lake and let her children drown. Now, of course, it's not all women, but let's be abundantly clear. And I'm not talking about abortion because some of y'all want to throw that in. That's not killing a person. That's not. That's a choice that a woman wants to make with her body. But neglect and abuse and harm and that ends up killing like infants and children. Yeah, that's so we both can be quite dangerous. I met several women in a professional setting recently, and I never met them before. They knew who I was. I did not know who they were. They all greeted me with hugs, and I'm going to tell y'all, it was the most uncomfortable an awkward thing, because what I do when I meet somebody, I don't care who you are, I'll reach my hand out to shake your hand. I look you in your eye. These women had their arms outstretched and I hugged them. And it just, I would never do that to a woman that I did not know. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. And I think it's like, that's a bold move to expect someone that you don't know, you've never met, a total stranger, to want to hug you. And maybe some people see it as like, oh, I'm being very accommodating, or, oh, I like you and I just want to show you. I don't want to exchange affection like that. Cause to me, that's personal. Like, I'll hug a stranger if we're sharing like a moment, or it's like a tragedy, or we need to support one another. But it was so awkward. I'm just thinking to myself, as a man, I would never do that because I know how uncomfortable that would make a woman feel. Hey, nice to meet you. Here, bring it in. I wouldn't want to do that. And I would respect the fact that she probably wouldn't want me to do that. And there are some that are probably thinking, and I hate this sentiment, some of y'all think that men are so desperate for female attention that it's always welcome. Some of y'all think that men are just like sex craved and like sex starved, and that's the only thing that we have on our mind. Men that don't get laid have sex on their minds all of the time. Men that do get laid oftentimes find that the sex is not worth it because it comes with a whole bunch of other stuff you did not sign up for. That's probably one of the worst sentiments and stereotypes that women can have about us. Oh, these men will just sleep with anything. No, the hell we won't. That's incredibly disrespectful and is very condescending to think that. And to think that all female attention is good, wanted, or warranted. Ladies, it's just as bad as men thinking that you getting male attention is always wanted. It's just as ignorant as thinking because you're wearing maybe a revealing outfit or a short skirt that you're asking for something physical from a man. I know better than that. Y'all are wearing that stuff because you want to make other women jealous. Because you know good and well that we would rather approach you when you're dressed down, hair in a ponytail, wearing some sweatpants with no makeup on. It's crazy because that is where we prefer. Real men prefer women in their most natural state, how they actually look. Because that's the woman we're going to get 99.9% of the time. That's what she actually looks like. Those are her pure genetic features, not covered under paint, not covered with fake lashes and all that other stuff. And it's crazy because a woman will be, in my opinion, the most beautiful when she is the most natural. But if you approach her, she'll have a fit because she doesn't think she looks pretty. That's got to be the biggest mismatch in some of the male, female, heterosexual, cisgender dynamics. When you don't think you're pretty, we think you're beautiful. We may approach, then you shut it down because you might feel insecure because you just ran out the house and just threw something on real quick, threw your hair up, and you're not ready to get approached. But then when you get all dolled up, right, and we approach, then you shoot us down when we do that too because you didn't get all dressed up for us. You got all dressed up because you just want to be the best looking, sexiest woman amongst the other groups of women that are there. Let's talk to Al. Hi, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. All I was going to say, and even if she in her natural form, you still cheat on her. So let's stop acting like we're so hurt and we're so heartstruck. If it's a business setting, you control the contact. You know what I mean? You shake your hand. Like if I'm in a business setting, I'm going to shake your hand. I'm not going to put my hands around you. That's an open door for an assault and battery. You don't do that. You control the narrative. You control the situation. If they want to give you a hug, we're going to keep it professional, and I'm going to shake your hand. Because, see, you might reach in to me. You might feel my chest. You might feel my head down there. Next thing you know, you crying because all you got to do is go to the therapist to examine this mental health, and now you're getting sued. Here's the thing. You have to control your narrative and just do it like that. Now, we all know women are very emotional, and you know if a man got some good Thundercat, he will do certain things that he's not accustomed to doing. So he has to know the terms and conditions. And you got to control your narrative. Because, see, if you do too much, now you're going to look like a trick. And now she's going to take your emotions and wipe her ass with it. And she might wipe the front, too. But y'all got to control all that. But what I wanted to say, you brought up the data centers. I don't think data centers at Midtown would be good. It's self-destruction for the homeowners. Number two, you already going to have Section 8 over there. And number three, you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to have a boob up under your right armpit and probably a rectum up under your left armpit. If they want to put a data center, let them go put it down in Washington Heights. They got a lot of vegetation over there. Or go over there off of Watertown Plank Road on the north side of the north side of Freighter. They got all that land over there. Let them go put it over there. My only issue is every time it comes to a place where it's blacks, They want to start throwing all that stuff up in the next thing. You're going to know, you might as well have a cell phone tower, a fast and friendly, a weed shop, and don't forget the church and the liquor store. But I just hate every time they come to us. They always want to treat us like we're Bible feeders. It's like, take the kibbles and bits and shut the F up, B, and be happy. No, that's not how it goes. But I just wanted to share that information with you. And some of you men have to stop being stupid for yams. And some of you women got to stop being dumb for Gorilla D. Because it's making both of y'all look stupid. And if she's dressed up and she puts you off, she ain't telling you, boo-boo. Go find somebody else. Just that simple. Sometimes you hit home run. Sometimes you strike out. She ain't for you, boo-boo. It might be a blessing in disguise. She might got chlamydia. You know what I mean? He might got gonorrhea, syphilis, HPV, and dingleberries in his ass. Everybody ain't for you. Control your narrative and you be good. And always take a shower. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Oh, the conversation about women choosing the bear. I love those conversations. I think that's, you know, women saying that we're more dangerous than bears are because, you know, I guess women have had bad experiences with men. I see it differently when a woman says she chooses the bear. Gentlemen, think about some of the stories and the romance novels that women find themselves engulfed in. They are far more cerebral, are they not? There used to be a debate between the two vampire dudes that women had more of a crush on in the Twilight series. I mean, look at the whole story of Beauty and the Beast. If women are choosing the bear, they want you to be the bear. It's not inaccurate to say women love and crave scary, frightening men that aren't scary and frightening to them, but are scary and frightening to everybody else, because with that bear, that scary and frightening man is the only way she is ever going to feel safe and protected. She always wants a beast that she can tame and control, but a beast to everybody else, sweet, kind, loving, and caring and protective to her. If she will choose the bear, she's telling you that she wants you to be the bear. At least that's the way I see it. Because you can be too soft, too sweet, too emotional, too gentle for a woman to where now she's comparing you to a female. And some of them will do that. When a woman says a man is acting like a bee, that's the worst thing that I think she can say to a man, that he, if he's showing his feelings and his emotions. She don't want to hear that. And also be very careful, because at some point you're going to argue. You're going to get into a disagreement. And also because men and women, we may see the world differently. Men could be a little bit more fact-based, a little bit more objective. A woman will argue with you just on how she feels. And I'm not going to debate that. If she feels a certain way, if she gets a funny feeling, or if this doesn't feel right, well, that's all it really takes for her. It's fine. But remember all of those things that you said to her? Because she wanted you to be more open, softer, and share your feelings. She'll bring them all back up next argument. You communicate with her and sharing your feelings at your own risk. And now you got all the women saying, I would never do that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. He told you how he felt about certain things, what makes him insecure, and the next argument y'all get into. So that's why we tell you nothing. And then they'll say something, why don't you tell me anything? Because I'm not loading your gun for you because you're going to aim it at me. Now, of course, that's not all women. But if a woman cannot physically fight a man, which I don't recommend, just don't. Nobody should hit anybody. She will find ways to win the fight and win the argument without a punch being thrown. And then they think that the hurtful and harmful and verbally abusive things that they say, well, that's all fair. No, it isn't. Both are wrong. Using like physical action against somebody is just as bad. They're both horrible. One leaves scars on the outside. The other leaves scars on the inside. And I know that y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Y'all over here. That's not how I am. Really? Sure. I love women very much. And y'all love us too. With their seemingly unlimited skill sets and abilities and knowledge and intelligence, right? Because women are all that. Why are y'all still getting played by the same kind of dude? Like, I know if I choose a bad woman that the outcome is my fault entirely. I know it's going to be my fault, whatever happens, because I played a role in making that choice. So when she does something that's mean, that's condescending, that's disrespectful, I played a role in that because I certainly saw it coming. Same thing can happen to a woman. You knew he had a wife. You knew what his reputation was, but, you know, you wanted to be involved with him anyway. And I get it. Some of y'all are going to get mad at me, but I think this is a conversation that we need to have the last minute of my show. Want the next man to treat you like a princess? You deserve it. You do. You deserve to get everything that you've ever wanted in a partner. Because why would you settle for less than that? Why would you? He's got to take care of you. He's got to protect you. He's got to provide for you. He's got to have good money. He's got to be stable. He's got to be mentally stable. Like, he's got to have a great reputation. Like, all of those things, that's who you deserve to have. And I'm not taking that away from you. We all deserve that kind of security and happiness. But why are you settling for a dude that only calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning for one thing? If you want to be treated like the princess because you deserve it, you're settling for a dude that you know is married, has a girlfriend that'll never commit to you. And then when he doesn't commit, all men are terrible. No, not all men, just that one. Am I saying anything wrong, X?
No, you said a lot of correct things today. And it was funny you brought up the bear thing because a woman said that to me earlier this week or mentioned the analogy, the bear, choosing the bear over a man or some shit or some stuff like that.
If she wants to choose the bear, then just be the bear. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.